Welcome to the deep dive. Have you ever been watching your favorite streaming service, totally immersed in rom-coms, and then suddenly, bam, it recommends a slasher flick?
Happens all the time.
Right. Or maybe something, a bit more serious. Your doctor uses an AI tool and it flags some unusual treatment path, and nobody can quite pin down why it suggested that.
Yeah, that immediate question just pops up, doesn't it?
Exactly why did it do that? It's this question that just sort of hangs over everything algorithmic these days, doesn't it? Every strange output in this world that's increasingly run by AI. We've built these incredible systems that can genuinely outperform us humans at really complex stuff, but then you ask them to explain themselves.
And you hit a wall.
But here's the thing we want to dig into today. Maybe it's not because the AI is broken. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe we're just asking the wrong question.
Or asking it in the wrong way.
Exactly. This is Second Opinion, our deep dive into how AI is, well, really fundamentally reshaping how we think, how we decide, how we relate to intelligence itself. And today, we're building on some really interesting ideas from Justin Houghton's recent blog post over on the Second Opinion Substack.
Yeah, that piece really connected the dots between AI explainability and how we justify our own
It
actions.
really did. Looking at intent, pattern recognition, and crucially, trust. And this isn't just, some abstract academic thing. This impacts how you, listening right now, interact with AI systems literally every day.
From your phone to your doctor's office, potentially.
Absolutely. So let's try and unpack this. We tend to assume why means, a simple direct cause, like the ball moved because I kicked it. A leads to B.
Clean cause and effect.
Right. But when things get more complicated, maybe even with our own choices, is that simple cause and effect really what we're looking for? Or is there something, I don't know, deeper going on when we ask why?
You know, it's fascinating because asking why often isn't about getting a full forensic breakdown. It's not usually about finding that single precise cause.
Okay.
It's more about how we as humans stabilize uncertainty, how we bring back a sense of order, a narrative, when something feels off, when it doesn't quite fit our expectations of how things should work.
It's like a comfort mechanism almost.
In a way, yeah. Think about like stubbing your toe. What do you say? Oh, I wasn't looking or I was distracted.
Yeah, instantly.
Or the stock market dips suddenly. What's the headline? Market falls on Fed uncertainty or
Yeah.
something similar. These aren't, you know, exhaustive analyses of every single trading decision or neurological pathway.
No, not at all.
They're shortcuts.
Yeah.
They're functional explanations that let us make sense of the event, put it in a box, and move on. They restore that feeling of narrative order.
That makes sense. And that reflex, that need for a narrative, it feels incredibly strong. I mean, we don't demand an explanation from our toaster, right? Why is this toast golden brown?
No. We just accept it, assuming it's not burned.
Exactly. But we absolutely expect it from our doctors. We expect it from our GPS, especially if it takes us on a weird route. And definitely from these recommendation algorithms. Why the difference? Why demand it from some things and not others?
Well, if you trace it back, I think it really comes down to trust.
Trust.
When trust is high, we just don't ask why very often. We accept the output. Your doctor gives you a prescription for a common cold, you generally take it.
Right. You don't usually demand the full pharmacological breakdown.
Exactly. Your GPS says turn left, you trust it and you turn left. But when that trust is shaky, or when something unexpected happens, the GPS route looks crazy, the recommendation is totally off base. That's when the why questions start pouring out.
Because the unexpected event broke the trust.
Precisely. We need reassurance. We need to feel like there's some logic behind it, even if we can't grasp all the details. Because our ability to function, to make decisions, depends on the world being somewhat predictable, somewhat understandable. The why helps restore that.
Okay, so trust is the gatekeeper for the why question. That's interesting. So if trust is central, let's flip the camera around. Let's look inwards for a second. How do you, listening now, actually make decisions? Forget the AI for a moment.
Yeah, let's get personal.
Let's get personal. Imagine it's one of those sticky, sweltering summer days in New York City. You walk outside, you're wearing a t-shirt, shorts, pretty standard. Someone asks you, "Hey, why are you dressed like that?" What's your immediate answer?
Because it's hot. Duh.
Right, because it's hot. Seems perfectly simple, perfectly logical, case closed.
But is it really?
Yeah.
That simple answer, because it's hot, is actually this incredible act of compression.
Compression. How so?
Well, think about all the things that actually went into that clothing choice. There's your body's specific tolerance for heat, which is unique to you. There's a whole lifetime of memories remembering sweating uncomfortably in jeans last summer, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
There's probably an unconscious scan you did of what other people were wearing as you walked out the door. Did you even glance at the weather forecast? Maybe just the temperature number.
Probably just glanced, yeah.
Right. And then there are subtle things. Your hormone levels that day, how well you slept last night. Dozens, maybe hundreds of factors, all processed incredibly quickly by your brain.
Wow, I never think about it like that.
Because your brain is this phenomenal pattern matching machine.
Yeah.
Most of the heavy lifting, the actual calculation and comparison, happens completely unconsciously, in the background, silently.
So because it's hot, what is that then?
It's not a direct readout of your neural activity.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely not a transcript of your brain's decision process. It's a narrative shortcut.
A shortcut.
Yeah. It captures a really strong, statistically reliable pattern.
Mm.
Hot weather correlates very strongly with people choosing to wear lighter clothing. It's not false information.
No, it feels true.
It feels true. Because it is functionally true. It's profoundly functional. It lets you communicate your reasoning effectively. It lets others understand your likely behavior. It helps coordinate social expectations, all while leaving out the immense unknowable complexity underneath.
So our human explanations are often, what did you call them? Post hoc rationalizations.
Exactly. Explanations we construct after the decision or behavior has already happened, based on these strong, statistically learned patterns.
Mm.
We create these simplified stories, these mental models from the correlations we observe. And then we use those stories to explain behavior that was actually driven by much more complex emergent processes.
Okay, this is huge. So even when we feel like we're giving a clean, honest reason for our own actions, we're often just providing the functional summary, the statistical correlation.
Pretty much. We're giving the useful narrative, not the raw data processing.
That insight alone really reframes the whole AI explanation problem, doesn't it? Because it means we're holding AI to a standard we don't even meet ourselves.
That's a key part of the argument, yes.
Right. So let's bring the AI back in. What happens when an AI system makes one of those unexpected choices? Like the horror movie wreck for the rom-com fan. We immediately demand that clean, simple narrative, the same kind we give ourselves for wearing shorts. Tell me why.
We expect it to say, because you like actor X, and actor X is in this, therefore. A simple linear rule.
Exactly. But what do we actually get?
Well, this is where the gap really opens up. An analyst, someone using the best explainability tools we have today, they might look at the logs, run some diagnostics, and come back and tell you something like, okay, the model recommended it because it was Wednesday afternoon. The user was logged in on a mobile device. We saw that users with similar viewing patterns watch this movie. And, you know, this user tends to prefer shorter content on Wednesdays.
Okay, that sounds kind of like an explanation. It mentions features.
It sounds like one, yes.
Cool.
But here's the absolute crucial distinction. That explanation is not what the model said or thought. The model didn't reason using concepts like Wednesday or similar users in the way we do.
So what did it do?
The model, at its core, is a mathematical function. It took all those inputs, your watch history, the time of day, the device type, the movie's metadata, and it transformed them. It converted them into these abstract numerical representations, sometimes called embeddings or vectors. Think of them as like the AI's internal language. Highly complex digital fingerprints of the data, often in hundreds of dimensions that we can't possibly visualize.
Okay, so it's not thinking in words or concepts like Wednesday, it's thinking in math. In these high-dimensional numbers.
Exactly. And inside the model, especially complex ones like transformers, these numerical fingerprints, these embeddings, get combined and recombined in incredibly complex nonlinear ways.
Nonlinear meaning, not simple A plus B equals C.
Not at all. Think thousands of these dense vectors flowing through hundreds of layers of computation, activating potentially millions of connections or parameters. They're techniques like attention mechanisms that can show us which parts of the input the model seemed to focus on more.
Like shining a spotlight.
Kinda, yeah. But even knowing where the spotlight was doesn't necessarily tell you why that part was important or how it combined with everything else to produce the final output. The model develops its own internal ways of representing relationships in the data, its own features.
And these features, We can't understand them.
The vast majority of them are completely uninterpretable to our human minds. They don't map neatly onto concepts we use. They're just numerical patterns, complex statistical relationships learned from the data that happen to be very effective at predicting the desired outcome in this case, predicting what you're most likely to click on.
So the horror movie recommendation wasn't an if-then rule, like if Wednesday and mobile then recommend horror.
Absolutely not. It was the emergent outcome. It bubbled up from the entire system's learned ability to calculate the highest probability of engagement, given that specific users' entire context history, time, device, content features, past recommendations, everything interacting together in this high-dimensional space.
Wow. Okay.
So when we, as the human analysts, point back to Wednesday or similar users as the reason, what we're really saying is something much more nuanced.
It is.
We're saying, look, Wednesday afternoon and mobile device were observable features present in the input data that we can easily understand and talk about. And based on our analysis of the model's behavior over many instances, the presence of these features strongly correlates with the model making this type of recommendation.
So it's a correlation, not the direct cause the model used.
Exactly. It's not necessarily wrong to point to Wednesday. It might be a statistically significant factor within the complex mix, but it's profoundly incomplete. It's like explaining a hurricane by saying because the wind blew. True, but misses the entire complex system dynamics. The model is exploiting a subtle combination of potentially hundreds of signals, not just one simple rule we can easily name.
Okay, this is starting to make sense, but it also feels a bit unsatisfying. If the real drivers are buried in these alien, non-human mathematical abstractions, and the AI doesn't think about Wednesdays like we do, then why bother? Why do we even try to surface these human-friendly features like Wednesday or short video preference? Why try to translate the machine's actions into our language at all?
That's a really important question. Why build these explainability tools if they only give us incomplete correlations? And I think the answer lies in how we approach any complex system we want to understand and interact with, whether it's, you know, the human brain or an advanced AI.
Go on.
Think about cognitive science again. How do psychologists study something like human memory? They don't typically try to map every single neuron firing when you recall your grandmother's face.
Yeah.
That's currently impossible and maybe not even the most useful level of analysis.
Right. They use broader concepts.
Exactly. They develop higher level abstractions, concepts like working memory, long-term memory, attention, cognitive load. These concepts don't necessarily correspond perfectly to discrete, isolated physical structures in the brain. You can't point to the working memory blob.
Oh.
But these abstractions are incredibly useful. They allow scientists to build theories, make predictions about behavior, design experiments, and understand patterns like high cognitive load impairs decision-making without needing that complete neuron by neuron breakdown. They're functional explanations that work.
So we should apply a similar scientific approach to understanding AI, even if we can't map every parameter.
Precisely. We can study the AI's behavior systematically. We observe its inputs and outputs across many situations. We look for robust patterns. And when we find them, we can create useful abstractions. So discovering that the model consistently prioritizes short-form content for mobile users on weekday afternoons is like discovering that cognitive load affects decision-making.
It's a high-level pattern summary of complex underlying mechanics.
Exactly. It's an abstraction derived from observing the system's behavior. And these human interpretable features like Wednesday afternoon or mobile user, they serve as absolutely crucial proxies.
Proxies, meaning stand-ins.
Kind of. They act as bridges. They connect the AI's opaque, high-dimensional internal logic back to the tangible world that we humans live and make decisions in. They provide a vital interface.
An interface for what?
For practical action. For strategy. For communication within a team or an organization. Think about it if your data analytics consistently show this pattern. Users on mobile watch more short videos on weekday afternoons, and your explainability tools confirm that the AI model reliably pushes short-form content in exactly that context. Well, now you have something incredibly powerful.
Even if it's not the AI's real reason.
Even if it's just a strong correlation reflecting a deeper, more complex pattern the AI learned, it doesn't matter as much why the AI learned it as much as the fact that it did learn it and it reliably acts on it. This gives you a solid basis for action.
Like what kind of action?
Now your product teams can run targeted A/B tests. Let's try promoting even more short-form content on mobile during the week. Does engagement go up? They can optimize how content is displayed, maybe change the layout for mobile users at certain times, and Critically, they can communicate a coherent story upwards and across the organization.
Ah, the story.
Yeah, they can say, look, our AI behaves as if it understands that busy mobile users prefer short bites during the week, and it's acting to optimize for that preference. And our tests show this strategy is working. It gives everyone a shared understanding, a rationale for decisions.
So this sounds a lot like, I remember reading about the philosopher Daniel Dennett and his idea of the intentional stance. Is that relevant here?
Absolutely spot on. That's a fantastic connection. Dennett's idea is that when we deal with complex systems, especially systems that seem goal-directed, we often find it useful to treat them as if they have beliefs, desires, and intentions, even if they don't in a human sense.
Like saying a chess computer wants to capture my queen.
Exactly. You don't actually believe the silicon chip feels a burning desire for your plastic queen. But thinking that way, adopting the intentional stance, is a massively effective predictive strategy. It allows you to anticipate its likely moves much better than trying to track the flow of electrons through its circuits.
It simplifies the complexity into a useful prediction.
Precisely. It compresses the mind-boggling mechanical complexity into a comprehensible pattern of behavior based on assumed goals. And we do the same with AI. Instead of trying to describe billions of parameter adjustments, we can take the intentional stance and say, our recommendation AI knows that users want short content on their phones during the week.
Even though it doesn't know anything in the human sense.
Right. It's not about deception. It's about pragmatic, effective communication. We're adopting a linguistic shortcut, a useful fiction, that allows us to predict, explain, in a functional sense, and manipulate the system's behavior.
Useful fiction. I like that.
And this narrative, built on observing the AI's reliable patterns, it builds trust within the teams. It aligns their efforts because everyone shares this functional understanding of what the AI is doing, even if the underlying how is opaque. We might even extend this to say the AI is, quote, guiding users through a keep-watching journey.
But the AI has no concept of a journey.
Of course not. It's just predicting the next piece of content most likely to maximize watch time or engagement based on the user's current state and history. But framing it as a journey is incredibly useful for product managers and designers. It helps them think about the user experience holistically, design sequences of interactions, organize the user interface logically, and communicate a coherent product strategy. The fiction scaffolds real decisions.
Okay, so we use these human-friendly explanations and intentional language as practical tools, as useful fictions built on observed correlations. But how do we make sure these correlations are real? How do we bridge that gap between our human dashboard showing people watch short videos on Wednesdays and the model's incredibly complex internal logic? How do we check if the AI really relies on that pattern, even if indirectly?
That's the crucial next step, isn't it? We can't just assume our human observed patterns are what the AI is actually keying off. We need ways to empirically test that connection.
How do we do that?
Well, thankfully, we have a growing toolbox of sophisticated diagnostic techniques. Think of them less as finding the single why, and more like running medical tests on the AI to understand its health and behavior.
Okay, like what?
There are methods called perturbation testing, for example. You systematically remove or change specific input features, like temporarily hiding the day of the week information from the model, and see how significantly its output changes. If removing Wednesday makes the horror wreck disappear or become much less likely, that's evidence the model was relying on it directly or indirectly.
Okay, makes sense.
What else? There are attribution methods, things like SHAP or integrated gradients. These try to mathematically trace the influence of each input feature through the model's layers to assign a kind of important score to each feature for a specific prediction.
So am I saying Wednesday contributed 10% to this decision?
Sort of, yeah, though the interpretation is complex. There's also probing, where researchers try to train simple probe models to see if they can predict human understandable concepts, like, is this user on mobile? Just by looking at the AI's internal representations, its embeddings. If they can, it suggests the AI has encoded that information internally. And we mentioned attention visualization earlier, seeing where the model looks.
So none of these gives the one true reason, but together they build a picture.
Exactly. They're like different diagnostic tests, an X-ray, a blood test, an MRI. Each gives you a different piece of the puzzle. They don't necessarily pinpoint a single cause, but they help us answer that refined, more practical, more scientific question we talked about earlier.
Which was?
Is there robust empirical evidence that the model has actually encoded and significantly relies upon the same patterns that we are observing in our human-driven analysis?
Right. Does the AI's internal behavior align with our external story?
Precisely. If multiple tests consistently show that, yes, the Wednesday mobile short video pattern significantly influences the model's recommendations, then we have much stronger grounds to trust her explanation. It's not just a story we made up after the fact. It's a functional approximation that reflects a real statistical alignment between our human reasoning about the data and the model's complex emergent behavior. It's validated.
Okay, that feels more solid, but it still leads us to what feels like maybe a hard truth, that complete transparent crystal box explainability, where we can point to every single connection and understand its exact purpose. That's probably never going to happen for these really complex AI systems, is it?
I think that's almost certainly correct, just like it's not really achievable for many other complex systems we rely on every single day.
Such as?
Well, think about medicine again. Consider general anesthesia. It's used millions of times a day, incredibly reliably. We trust it implicitly with our lives.
Absolutely.
Yet, the precise molecular mechanisms of how different anesthetic agents induce unconsciousness, how they interact with countless neuronal pathways, that's still an active area of intense scientific research and debate. There's no single, universally agreed upon, complete explanation.
Wow, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Our trust in anesthesia isn't built on us having a perfect, transparent understanding of its deepest workings. It's built on something else.
What's that?
It's built on empirical repeatability and consistent efficacy. It just works reliably, predictably, time after time, across millions of diverse cases. The outcomes are consistent.
So the proof is in the pudding, basically.
Essentially, yes. And with AI, I argue the trust we fundamentally care about, the trust that matters for practical purposes, isn't symbolic. It's not about having a neat little causal story for every single output. The trust that matters is statistical.
Statistical trust, meaning?
Meaning, if the model's behavior consistently holds up under pressure, mm-hmm. if you test it rigorously with lots of different data, different scenarios, different user groups, if it generalizes accurately, meaning it makes good predictions on new data it hasn't seen before, if it performs robustly without breaking down when conditions change slightly,
okay.
then from a practical standpoint, it almost doesn't matter that we can't perfectly articulate the precise 500-layer interaction that led to that one specific horror movie recommendation on that one specific Wednesday.
Because the overall system performance is reliable and predictable.
Exactly. Empirical trust doesn't demand full transparency of mechanism. It demands consistent, predictable, and valuable performance. If the AI reliably helps users find content they engage with, if it demonstrably improves key business metrics, if its failure modes are understood and managed, that builds operational trust.
Let's use another analogy. Think about a parent dealing with a toddler having a meltdown in the grocery store.
Oh boy, been there.
Right. The actual deep-seated why behind that specific tantrum right now, it's incredibly complex. Hunger, tiredness, frustration over a specific toy, developmental stage, sensory overload. It's often unknowable in the heat of the moment.
Totally unknowable sometimes.
But does the parent need a complete neurodevelopmental breakdown to cope effectively? Not really. Over time, they learn patterns.
You learn the trigger.
Exactly. You learn tantrums are more likely if nap time was missed, or it often happens near lunchtime, or definitely avoid the candy aisle before checkout. You learn what works to prevent or mitigate the meltdowns, even without a perfect causal explanation for each one.
You adapt based on the reliable signals.
Precisely. And that's the key point here. Even without a full why, these repeatable signals, these patterns of what works, allow for effective adaptation and better outcomes. And similarly, an AI, through its complex pattern matching, can surface nuanced what works signals for something like content engagement that might completely elude standard human analysis.
Like your example. Turns out 42-minute cozy mysteries released on a Tuesday perform unexpectedly well with this specific user segment.
Right. A human analyst might never think to even look for that specific quirky combination, but the AI, crunching vast amounts of data, might identify it as a subtle but reliable predictor of high engagement.
And you might not fully understand why that specific confluence of genre, length, and release day resonates. Maybe it hits a sweet spot for commute times or aligns with certain social media trends or taps into some niche preference the model detected.
The underlying why could still be complex and opaque.
Exactly. But if the AI consistently flags or recommends content with those characteristics, and your metrics dashboards confirm that, yes, users are watching more, they're staying subscribed longer when shown this type of content, then you've discovered a powerful, empirically validated what works.
And that becomes actionable, even without the perfect why.
Absolutely. This is how you build better AI systems and better products using the AI. Now, teams can take that what works, signal the cozy mystery, 42 minutes Tuesday release pattern, and use it strategically.
How?
Well, first, you can use it to improve the next generation of models. Maybe you explicitly add features representing these successful combinations, or you gather more data specifically around these high-performing niches to help the model learn them even better. This is how you investigate the model. You form hypotheses about what works based on its outputs, and then you systematically test if the model reliably uses those signals.
Okay, so you feed back the discoveries into model development.
Yes. And second, you can use these insights to refine your overall personalization strategies. If you know this pattern works, you don't just tweak one recommendation carousel. You might adjust the entire user experience.
Like how?
Maybe you dynamically change the homepage layout for users who fit this profile on Tuesdays. Maybe you tailor push notifications featuring this type of content. Maybe it even informs your content acquisition or production strategy. Hey, maybe we should invest in more 40-ish minute cozy mysteries.
So it moves beyond just the algorithm to influence the whole ecosystem.
Exactly. Mm. It's driven by the AI's empirically validated insights into what works for driving real user engagement and business value. And crucially, this allows organizations to move beyond the limitations of simple, easily explainable human rules.
Right, because we might never have thought of the Tuesday cozy mystery thing on our own.
Probably not. The AI, by exploring these complex, high-dimensional patterns, can unlock entirely new dimensions of personalization and engagement that traditional human analysis, stuck looking for simple whys, might never discover. That's how you really drive impact, by learning from the AI's observable predictive power, by validating its what-works discoveries, rather than getting stuck demanding it explain itself in simple human terms it wasn't built for.
Okay, so let's try and pull this all together. That dream, that really seductive dream of getting a perfect singular causal why out of an AI.
Like opening the black box and finding one simple switch labeled recommend horror movie.
Yeah, exactly. That dream where we can just point to one specific node, one clean rule, and say, aha, that's why it did it.
It's appealing, no doubt.
It's incredibly appealing. But what we've been exploring today, drawing on that second opinion post and these examples, suggests that dream is maybe rooted in a flawed assumption.
An assumption about how complex systems work, yeah. An assumption that causality is always neat, factors are always easily named, and decisions always break down into simple linear stories.
And as we've discussed, that's not really how our own brains work when we make complex choices.
Not usually, no. We give the functional summary, the post-hoc narrative.
And it's definitely not how these advanced AI models, these deep learning systems, actually operate internally.
They operate on complex, emergent statistical patterns in high-dimensional space.
And frankly, it's probably not how most truly complex adaptive systems in the universe really function, from ecosystems to economies.
Emergence and complexity are often the rule, not the exception.
So if chasing that perfect, simple why is maybe a bit of a wild goose chase, or at least that's an unattainable bar, what's the path forward? How should we be thinking about this?
I think it requires a fundamental shift in the questions we ask, not just of the AI, but of our own analytical processes when we evaluate these systems, and maybe even asking different questions of ourselves when we try to explain our own behavior.
A shift from what to what?
It's a shift away from demanding, why precisely did this one specific event happen? Towards a more pragmatic, more scientific inquiry.
Which sounds like?
It sounds more like. What observable, repeatable patterns of behavior do we see in this system? And crucially, can we gather strong empirical evidence to confirm that acting on these observed patterns reliably leads to the outcomes we actually desire?
So focus on the reliable patterns and their validated consequences.
Exactly. It's less about retrospective explanation of single events and more about prospective prediction and control based on validated correlations. This isn't, you know, a step backward into ignorance. It's not giving up on understanding.
No, it sounds more like aligning our expectations with reality.
I think so. It's a pragmatic and ultimately more powerful step towards aligning how we think about intelligence with how intelligence, whether it's biological like ours or artificial like the AI's, actually seems to operate within these incredibly complex adaptive systems.
So the AI doesn't necessarily need to provide you, the user, with a simple, satisfying why story for every single recommendation it makes.
Probably not, and it probably can't, truthfully.
But if that same AI can consistently help you, or the teams building the product, identify what works, If it can surface those reliable patterns, the Tuesday cozy mysteries, in ways that are repeatable, that build statistical trust, and that demonstrably lead to better outcomes, like higher engagement or finding shows you genuinely love.
Then maybe that's the most valuable kind of explanation we can actually ask for.
The explanation isn't a story, it's the demonstrable pattern of success.
Precisely. Is that what works? Signal a complete, exhaustive, philosophically pure truth about the underlying causality? Probably not. It's likely still a compression and emergent property.
But is it true enough? Is it functional enough, reliable enough to allow us to move forward, to build working trust with these systems, and to actually drive significant value from them in our daily lives and work?
I think the answer to that is increasingly becoming. Absolutely yes. That pragmatic, empirically grounded trust might be the most important kind.